Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by David Sparks from Mac Power Users and Free Agents, as well as Alex Cox from Roboism and Do By Friday, to talk about what we want to see at WWDC. As you know, the conference is just about a week away. It's been a very quiet season for rumors, so we're going to get into that and maybe decide if Apple is keeping something big close to the vest, or maybe it's going to be a sleeper year. I guess we'll know soon enough. But welcome to the show, David. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
You bet.
You know, it's like Christmas presents for nerds next week.
It is. It's like Christmas, and it's vacation, and it's a work trip. It's all that rolled into one. And it's made even better because Alex Cox is here, and she'll be in San Jose. It's gonna be fun.
I will. And like a lot of Apple employees, today I'm pretty sleepy, but very excited for next week.
It's got to be a rough time if you're an engineer or working on the marketing team, right? Like, you just know no one at Apple who's working on this is getting any time off between now and the keynote.
If I had any friends at Apple, it's theoretically, it's funny how they've like gone silent from all group chats for the past month.
Slowly disappear. So I kind of thought we could divide this into a couple categories. I thought maybe we could start with things that we think maybe realistic to see, and we could talk about hardware, and then we can have those dream items at the end, you know, the pie in the sky. This would make me very happy, but it may not be so realistic. So I think we'll end there because that's the fun one, I think, right? Like, what can we dream up? So Alex, what comes to mind is something that we think is kind of within reach for this year?
Since so many things have been pretty quiet on the iOS side of things, I think they're going to continue to refine watchOS slowly but surely. I think it's getting there, as we saw with that article in the Fancy Watch magazine with Johnny Ive. It seems like they didn't really know what they were doing. It was the first platform that they're like, well, let's just see where this goes. And my main thing is I want native sleep tracking with the Apple Watch. There are a lot of great apps that do this automatically, like Underscores Sleep Plus Plus, which is what I use. But it's sort of the last thing that I want to be integrated natively into Apple Health. Because right now, even with those great apps, it's kind of shaky. And I also use Fitbit, and it's kind of all over the place. And I think, or even if Apple gave even better API access to Health, it would be kind of exciting. And I think they're going to go even harder on Health with the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I think they're going to put the gas down on Health too. But the weird thing about Apple Watch is, I mean, that first year we had that massive improvement. And I honestly can't remember what they added last year. You know, I guess it was the Siri face and a couple things, but it doesn't feel like it's made massive growth. But I guess they also probably figure things out a little bit better. The batteries in the current watches definitely are good enough to have sleep tracking. I mean, I have the most recent one, and I charge it for like an hour a day while I'm sitting on my desk, and it seems like it's always fully charged.
I will say that I, unlike other people, don't think we are there for we're not there for a watch redesign yet, only because the battery is still so good. I upgraded from a Series 0 to a Series 3 this past year and was blown away. It is a completely different piece of hardware, but it also felt like the software was completely different. So I think I'm coming at the software perspective from a little differently because I can actually use apps on watchOS. And I guess I'll get into this a little bit more when we get to our dream items, but I'm very hopeful for what watchOS is going to bring.
Yeah, it's one of those, I feel kind of bad. It's one of those platforms that I don't consider very often. Like, I just think about the Mac and iOS, but it's its own little world out there. And I feel like I see watches more and more, you know, out in the world beyond the nerd circle. And I would totally agree. I think sleep stuff would be great. And that really kind of is like Fitbit's last stand. My wife wears a Fitbit, mm-hmm. and that's her, like, one of her favorite features about it is that she does the sleep tracking. Like, well, you know, an Apple Watch can do that, but I guess maybe it's because it's not native or because the battery life is different than a Fitbit. She's been unwilling to let me change what she wears on her wrist. But I think a lot of people would be into that. I mean, clearly that's a feature people want. And David, like you said, the battery life is definitely there. The Series 3 battery life is so good. I think this is definitely a real contender. So what about you, David? What's on your mind for things this year?
Well, one of them is notifications. I've never been a big fan of the way Apple does notifications on a device. There's so many people out there complaining that they get too many notifications, and you can fix it, but it's very fiddly to go in and do it. And I feel like Apple could do a better job if they just, you know, erase the whiteboard and start it over again with notifications. I mean, why doesn't it use geolocation to help adjust your notifications? Where if you're at home, it gives you one set. If you're at work, it gives you another set. Or why, you know, I don't know. It just feels to me like this is an example of something that Apple lately is just not very good at, of coming up with a mechanism to make that feature work better for everybody. And, you know, there are people out there that want notifications to be more agile, and it just seems like they haven't really done it for a long time. And then I watched the Google keynote, and they've got all this stuff they're adding about, you know, making it so you use your device less, and they've already got these great notification schemes. It's going to be kind of painful to see if we go another year with notifications without some improvements.
I kind of forget how great Android's notification refinement is until Google I/O every year, and then I remember, oh my god, iOS is shockingly bad. The only reason I'm skeptical of this, or rather I was skeptical of this until we saw Google I/O, is that most people just leave on all of their notifications and don't care. They constantly have things buzzing, and they've got the red badges everywhere. And it's kind of like cracked screens. It feels like most people have thought, they think that this is what Apple wants them to do. And they're like, all right, I'm ready to live with these consequences, just like I'm ready to live with the consequence of a cracked screen if I don't use a case.
What about you, Steven?
I mean, I agree. I think the notification deal definitely needs some help. The thing I keep thinking about is, an easy win for 2018 is just focus on Apple's various first-party apps, like not even the OS itself, but things like Mail and Calendar that have really fallen behind what every major third-party option offers. So if you look at something like Mail, AirMail and Spark and all these others, they all have things. They all have things like snoozing. They all have things like actions where I can take a message and send it somewhere else. Where Mail doesn't even have the standard share sheet, right? I can't even take a Mail message and send it to OmniFocus directly because,
or turn it to PDF. Yeah, without.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you got to jump through these hoops. All these other Mail apps are doing this kind of right out of the box, and so I don't know if Apple's gonna do anything with that because I think they view Mail in particular as like, it does its job and does it well, and I'm sure it's by far the most popular email client on iOS because it's the default. But I think it's time for some of these features that have been cooking out there in the third-party app world to come back home to Mail and to Calendar. So I'm fingers crossed there, just because it's been so long since we've seen any real changes to those core apps, either on iOS or the Mac, honestly, that I'm hoping Apple spends some time and these apps that we, you know, a lot of people use all day. Like Mail's always open for me. And as someone who uses the default app and has for, you know, a decade or more, it's time to see some polish there and some new things. So I'm hoping that not just the OS, but first party apps get some love too.
Yeah.
What I worry about is that it's going to mostly be fan service for, hey, look it, we care about your health. We want you to enjoy our experiences even more. So it's going to be great for a press release, but in practice, it'll be like an app that tells you how often you use your phone, but it won't have the refinement from first-party apps that we want. I'm a Debbie Downer today. Wow.
No, I agree. I mean, especially, I don't know, it just seems like Apple hasn't been too focused on some of this stuff lately. Last year, we got a nice focus on the iPad, and they made the iPad a lot more usable last year for people who wanted to actually get work done with an iPad. But I feel like something else I is possible we'll see this year that I'd like to see is some refinements to that. You know, like they added the Files app, but there's some parts of it that aren't that great. And, you know, not just stability, but just user interface stuff. Like trying to apply tags in there is kind of a nightmare. You can't apply tags to multiple items. You can't search your tags. You have to, it's just, it feels like they're at a level one implementation. They should be at a level three or four implementation. So I hope that, you know, if they don't add a bunch of productivity stuff for iPad this year, they at least go back and do a polish run on the stuff that came out last year.
Yeah, a lot of that iOS 11 stuff really feels like a version one, and why not like keep up, right? Keep the momentum rolling into some fixes and expansion there. Because you're right, there's some real basic things like in Files that just blew my mind, especially since the company has a file manager, right? Like it's not like they're starting from zero. They have the Finder, and I'm not saying port the Finder to iOS. There's a lot of things in the Finder that iOS users could benefit from, no doubt.
You're both so much more optimistic than I. I just want my messages to sync across all my devices in the right order and maybe be able to search them. But even there, it feels like a pipe dream.
I mean, there's always that stuff on the table, right, that was announced a year ago. You've got messages in the cloud. You have AirPlay 2, which like both of these things have been in iOS betas and they disappear before the final release. And yeah, that'll be an interesting story to see if we see that stuff come this year. You know, it's not the first time Apple's had a feature that's been really delayed. In fact, if you remember when they first announced push notifications, I believe that they were initially delayed from when Apple said they were going to be because they realized they had to like rebuild the entire infrastructure because the scale, it didn't scale well. And I would rather, especially iMessage sync, like, that has to be rock solid. And so I will take a delay if it means it's going to be great. And yes, maybe we'll see that stuff. Maybe that'll ship with, you know, iOS 12 and macOS 10.14.
I do think it's kind of funny that in the category of things that we would realistically expect, none of us chose AirPlay 2 or Message Sync.
Yeah. poor AirPlay 2. That team apparently had a rough year.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, guys. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about hardware. You know, hardware is one of those things that for a long time, like in the Steve Jobs days, hardware was a pretty sure bet at WWDC. And then Apple sort of moved away from that, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, there's so much software to talk about. And they have the September events and they have the spring events. You know, hardware, you know, generally was kind of spring or fall with software in the middle. But that's changed a little bit. The last couple of years, we've had hardware. Last year, we had a bunch of hardware. We had the iMac Pro teased. We had iMacs and notebooks released. We had, of course, the new 10.5-inch and 12-inch iPad Pros announced and released. A lot of hardware last year. Do we think that's going to continue to be the case this year, or do we think maybe last year was sort of a weird blip and they're going to go back to the way it was?
I think that we I'd like to think that we're going to get a new iPad Pro this year with some of the iPhone 10 goodness, you know, the Face ID and the edge-to-edge stuff. I mean, maybe that's wishful thinking, but I feel like that this would be a year to do that since the iPhone 10 made such a splash last year.
So things like Face ID.
Yeah.
I don't see them doing OLED, but yeah, I could see Face ID. I think it'd be nice. I'm sure, like y'all, sometimes I just stare at my iPad wondering why it doesn't do anything. You know,
or even just like the user interface problem where, you know, you access certain elements one way on the iPhone 10 and different ways on your iPad. It makes you crazy.
I tap on my iPad at least once a day trying to wake it up, and it makes me sad every time.
Yeah, the tap to wake, if that's all there is in the new iPad, I'm sold. I do it all the time. So new iPad, yeah, I mean, I could see it. It would be a year. I think there's clear roadmap where they could go, right? It's not like some previous years where like I'm unsure what the new iPad could be except faster. I mean, clearly the goalposts have moved in iOS hardware. So I think they could catch that up. What about you, Alex? You thinking any hardware?
Like most people, I really hope that there is an improved keyboard. I'm not hopeful that it's going to come to everything all at once. I'm sorry, keyboards on the MacBooks and MacBook Pros. I really hope that the MacBook Adorable gets a bump again, because as much as I love my iPad, increasingly on the road, I have to borrow someone's laptop, and it's a big bummer. Maybe with and that's the thing, I don't think with iOS 12, with the rumors, it seems like the software isn't going to be anything revolutionary, so I might need to use a laptop for another year. And the Adorable is indeed an Adorable. It's just this cute little thing. And the reason I think the keyboard will come to that first is just not as many people buy them, and it might be, you know, just like a good faith sort of moment. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to be able to ramp up hardware and have keys in time so the, you know, outrage stops.
It seems like it's about time if they're planning to fix the keyboard for that to happen. And if they do, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to most, is hearing how they explain that. Because, you know, it may be a lot of tap dancing going on that stage that day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. And secretly, there's a repair extension program that they don't mention, which they really need to do.
That'll be a month later.
Yeah. There's a tweet going on today. Dustin Curtis has an out-of-warranty MacBook Pro that has a broken T key, I think, and Apple wanted to charge him $600. It's like, oh, guys.
Oh,
like,
no.
You gotta get on that. Alex, I totally agree with you on the keyboard. Obviously, it's time. I think beyond that, though, what I'm interested to see is Apple moving to Coffee Lake, which is the current generation Intel CPUs, and what that would give them would be the availability to put a quad-core CPU in the 13-inch MacBook Pro and a 6-core in the MacBook Pro and iMac. And my guess is Apple would put that at the high end, that the base model would still be dual or quad-core respectively. But if someone wants to spend $2,800 and get a 6-core MacBook Pro, like, yes, please. Sign me up for that future. And same with the iMacs. And, you know, those processors, there's still a big enough gap between that and the baseline iMac Pro. I still think that they could safely have that chasm between them. But I think that moving to Coffee Lake gives them a lot more flexibility. You know, I know a lot of people who would have a 13-inch laptop but don't, because they're all that dual core system. And so that would be exciting. And the chips have been in the wild now for several months, so the time's about right for Apple to move to them. So I expect if we see any new Mac hardware, it'll be Coffee Lake powered, you know, notebooks and iMacs.
If hopes and dreams.
I know. I did not say the Mac Mini, because I didn't even write the Mac Mini down in my dream item list, because I just don't think it's possible. But let's go to the pie in the sky. David, what would just make you the happiest boy at the ball?
Oh, the thing I want the most is I want more automation in iOS. And we've got this great app called Workflow that Apple bought and, you know, sucked those guys into the company. And it seems like they're working on something. I mean, they haven't said anything. They work for Apple now. They can't say anything. But it just seems to me like they've got something they're cooking on, that Apple didn't buy that app for no reason. They've continued to develop it and support it since they bought it. And in my headcanon, that they're going to keep supporting Workflow until they add something into iOS that is system-wide, where there's an API, where any developer can throw in some lines of code, and then suddenly their app is more automation friendly, and maybe inter-app communications is easier. And now it has been over a year since the Workflow guys went to work for the fruit company. So, you know, this could be, it's probably too early, but this could be the year that they say, hey, we've got this cool new automation thing. And especially if this is a year where they don't have a lot to announce, automation is kind of a niche thing. Not a lot of people are going to be interested in it, but the people that are going to like it are going to really like it. And you got to start somewhere. I feel like whatever they do is not going to be perfect with the first iteration, so let's just get that one out and start working from there. So in my dream world, we get automation in iOS that is supported by Apple and system-wide.
I really love that you have a headcanon for employees or teams at Apple. Like,
yes,
I just picture now David writing fan fiction about, yes, they're writing automation for the AR goggles as we speak.
Yes.
As Johnny passes in the hallway.
Yes, exactly. Then he passed Johnny in the hallway and said, damn it, we have to add print functions. Something like that. I don't know. It's very exciting in my life. I'm going to write you into it, Alex. You're going to have a role. I'm not sure what it is.
I'm just going to be like pressing my face against the glass, even if I can get it. It really, I'll be pressing my face against the glass of like a security card that they have on campus as I try to like slowly make my way to the store at the visitor center.
No. I already wrote it. You're going to be on one of those cables, like Tom Cruise style, and you're going to drop into the secret lab. You're going to get the, it's going to be stored on a floppy disk, 3.5-inch floppy, just for the hell of it. You're going to get it, and you're going to be running across Apple Park as security chases you. But but then Steven will pick you up in a helicopter, and everything will be fine.
Sold.
I mean, in my personal Apple headcanon, it's, or rather, in my fan fiction, I imagine that Apple just completely opens up the Siri API, and they let third parties just go buck wild with whatever they want to do. And that, I guess, includes choosing third-party apps to be the default app. And so you could just say, hey, buddy, like, send an email to whoever. And then you don't have to, like, hey, use Todoist to add bread to my shopping list. Just whatever people want to use. And that includes being able to talk to my HomePod, being able to, the sky is the limit, really. And also just even something with workflow, saying run whatever workflow. And I reading that article that came out earlier from, I think it was The Information, and it was on Daring Fireball, and we all had to put our email addresses in order to read it. That was the first time I was like, oh, this might have gone wrong because Steve wasn't there, because his vision for Siri was very different than the direction it was going. It seemed like there were two camps, and Siri has gone to the wrong side. It's like at the dark side, and I think that hopefully it's going to get away from Kylo Ren, and Rey is going to pull Siri back into the light. That got weird. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hope you're right, but I feel, see, to me, this is the kind of thing, like a few years ago, it became painfully obvious that Apple couldn't handle cloud storage like its competitors could. And then iCloud just slowly got better over the course of 2 or 3 years. And right now we're at that point where it's painfully obvious Siri isn't as good as its competitors, but it's still out there to see whether Apple has got a skunkworks project or throwing a bunch of manpower into catching up, or whether they don't realize how, you know, that, or maybe they just think we don't care. I don't know.
I wonder, and again, these are the pie in the sky pipe dreams. I wonder if the new, you know, Apple's next big thing isn't hardware, but it is software based, and it might not seem like something that'll take the world by storm. It'll be kind of like a quiet launch type, like the iPod, and we're all really excited for it, and then it slowly creeps into the lives of everybody, and hopefully a singularity type situation doesn't happen. But I really want Siri to be just as prevalent as the Amazon Tube Friends.
It's kind of hard to explain what's like in my mind, but the idea of taking where Apple already is, like moving from iOS to the Mac to, you know, your iPhone to your laptop to your iPad, making all that more fluid than it is. Continuity with iOS 8 got us part of the way there, where, oh, I have this document open here, I can open it over here and share a clipboard that sometimes works and sometimes locks up your computer, you know, all of that stuff, sort of like the sticky goo in between these platforms. I think there's lots of room for improvement, and in a couple of ways. One, that's just more reliable, but more like encompassing. So it really is easier. Like, what if I really had this document open and I brought it over to my iPad immediately? Like, there's still some friction in some of that stuff. But I think also, like, thinking about just the way Apple's services interact with the various OSs. Like, if you're on the Mac and you want to turn on or turn off different parts of iCloud, like sometimes that's a little confusing. Sometimes you just can't do it. Like, I would love to turn off the universal clipboard because it doesn't really work well for me, but I can't because it's just part of this like iCloud soup that gets enabled when I turn on iCloud. So like better administrative tools around that stuff, but then making it more reliable, making it more robust, making it smarter. So, hey, I am, I know you try to do these types of things on this type of device. Let me surface that for you better. And things like Siri and Spotlight suggestions. It's like Apple knows all this about me and knows how I use my different devices. Make moving in between them more fluid, because I like working on the iPad for some types of tasks, but the little frictions are what turn me off to it. And I think, you know, making it more of an extension of my Mac, or you know, the idea with iCloud was the computer and the devices are on the same level and everything's up in the cloud. And like, that's so true for so many things, but making that more robust would be exciting. There's not a term for that. Like, I don't know like how Apple would even explain it, but like just improving all of that stuff they already have, I think would be a big win, because Apple at the end of the day is a platform company more than anything else. And iCloud is super important to that, because it's what ties other devices together, and parts of it are really great and other parts of it need some work.
So like pouring WD-40 between iOS and yes. Mac OS. So just
I think you support right into the server racks in North Carolina, and iCloud would work better.
I put into the notes that I think both of you were very curious about. I said iOS monitor, and really it's actually pretty similar to what you're saying. There's in the episode of Black Mirror, there's the episode Nosedive, I believe, where, you know, it's this dystopian future where everything is Tinder and you must rate everybody 4 stars, or then you're not able to rent a car if you're like too many stars, you have too few stars. But there's a really amazing part of this episode where you realize the phones are the center of their lives, but if they're working or going someplace, like if they're watching TV, they just plug in their phone, and whatever monitor they're near, it adapts to that monitor. And Samsung did something similar where they basically had this monitor, and you could drop your Samsung phone in, and it didn't work at all. And I'm pretty sure they've discontinued it. But my eventual dream is, again, kind of similar to yours, where there's just my main computer in my pocket, and I just plop it somewhere, and it does what I want. I plop it in by my TV, and TVOS works. I plop it into something that has a keyboard and a mouse, and that's basically what Mac OS is today. And I know we're pretty far off from that, even despite the rumors of Project Marzipan or whatever might be coming. And I'm going to predict 2023 is where I get my something similar to what I'm dreaming about. Like, I have literal dreams about this, where I'm just holding this thin slab of glass and just putting it at various places. And sometimes it's just like a hologram or an AR type screen, and I'm very excited. And I think Apple won't be the first to do this, but they're definitely going to be the best at it, like they are at most things.
I sure hope so. maybe next week, though. Why not?
Yeah sure.
If that's true, you win. I don't know what you win. You win something.
Yeah,
gold star. Something awesome.
Gold star.
Well, or maybe a car will pull out. That's another thing that I would like.
There you
go. Probably just as lucky.
No, I don't want to, I honestly don't want them to make a car. I want them to think about computers and iPads and Macs for a few years.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, we don't have too much longer to find out. I should say before we wrap this up, Relay's doing a bunch of cool stuff at WBDC. So we're doing, there's a live connected and a bunch of shows are going to be recorded in person, which is a lot of fun. In the members only feed, I'm going to be doing, like I did last year, like interviewing various people about different things throughout the week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So be sure to keep your eye out for all that stuff. Before we go, David, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at MacSparky.com for all of my main books and websites and all that. And you can find my podcast, Mac Power Users, at relay.fm/MPU and the free agents at relay.fm/free agents. That's right. I'm a relay man.
Where can people find you, Alex?
You can find me on Twitter at Alex Cox, and my relay show, Roboism. I believe it's roboism.fm or relay.fm/roboism. And dobyfriday.com, which is a show I do with Merlin Mann of the Internet and Max Temkin of Cards Against Humanity. And also he's my boss. Or you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/dobyfriday.
And you can find me on Twitter as ISMH and a whole bunch of shows over on Relay. Thanks for checking out this episode of Fusion. If you're listening to my voice and you're not a Relay FM member, it's okay. We still love you, but you should sign up. Relay.fm/membership. Go support shows that these great hosts are on. So Mac Power Users, Free Agents, Roboism, and show them some support. And until next month, adios.